Good afternoon, WCRS.
Hey, this is Tim Scott.
Hello, Tim Scott. How are you doing?
Life has been just rosy.
Well, that's good to hear. I'm so glad to have this opportunity to talk to you. You know, it was January 2011 when you and I sat down in Jeff Duncan's office. Do you remember that?
Yes, ma'am.
That was a pretty neat conversation.
It was wonderful.
It was. So I know you're very, very busy, and I know late last night, you all voted on the beginning of the repeal of Obamacare.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, one of the questions that is on everybody's mind is, where is that going to leave people who don't have insurance? Where do you think? Are we going to be able to have something for that, or is it going to be total repeal and then put something in place?
Well, the way I understand President Trump elect, as well as the House and the conversation that's been happening in the Senate, the goal of repeal and replacement is to do them as quickly as possible and to do them as close as possible. Said differently, there is no one in either camp, the White House, the House, or the Senate, that wants to leave anyone who's currently insured without access to insurance around the same price points. So for that to be accomplished, we all recognize it's going to take some transitional period of time for what we have to be replaced by what we want, and therefore during that transitional time, the insurance would continue. And the hope is that because Obamacare today is failing in our state, not only is there a 28% rate increase for those on the market, the Obamacare market plan, but there's only one company left in that market, which suggests that in the end, a monopoly will continue to increase the prices and the coverage will likely not improve. So we have to fix the problem because it's broken, it is failing, and it is not going to last with or without a conversation about repeal and replace. Obamacare, as we know it, has been a failure, and there are a number of examples of that failure in our state.
Oh, sure. There's conversations. You can't get on Facebook or the news or just personal conversations.
Yes.
Yeah. So do you have any ideas, though, what type of time frame they're talking about on this, Tim?
I don't have enough specifics to answer the question completely. I can tell you that the range is having a replacement vehicle in place by February or March, and the other time frames go as late as 2 or 3 years. The likelihood is that repealing Obamacare will be the easier of the two tranches that we have to fill, and then the second part of replacement will take time. But the good news is we will no longer be burdened with the responsibility of a $2 trillion mandatory spending program that only insured around 6% of the population in our country.
You know, yesterday I thought it was very interesting in the news conference that President Trump had, President-elect Trump had, was the fact that they were going to take the burden off the Democrats.
Yeah, I don't, that's funny. Yeah, the burden of Obamacare will always be the burden of the Democrats. One thing is clear and certain is that they have, maybe with good intentions, but done a great disservice to folks looking for insurance long-term, because ultimately the current system that they have constructed without a single Republican vote is the exact system that is now failing without any support from either side. Could we save the system as it is? Repealing and replacing is the most compassionate thing we can do for people who have health insurance needs and who currently have not found a path to having those needs met.
Absolutely. Well, how do you think President Trump is going to do? Do you think there's going to be as much animosity as it appears as in the Senate in the Senate confirmation hearings that are coming out there. Do you think this is going to continue like this, or is this just politics as normal?
Well, I think that there was great animosity towards President Obama from Republicans, and myself included. We certainly felt serious challenges and frustrations with his approach to governing. That was not a personal personal position against the person, but certainly against the President of the United States and his actions as our Commander-in-Chief. We were very disappointed in his policies, his executive orders, the rulings from the agencies within the government, no standing up for our allies. So I would imagine that that same frustration and irritation that we felt on the right will be mirrored on the left going forward. So unfortunately, we will have a serious discussion, debate, and frank, strong disagreements on how to move America forward. The difference, I believe, will be at the end of our time, the American people will be able to look into their checking accounts and savings accounts and see more money. They'll be able to understand and appreciate that this country is an exceptional country, that American exceptionalism is alive and well, and that they will have a sense of optimism about the future. And it won't be because government is getting bigger. It's because their role in their own lives is becoming more independent.
Hmm. I know that you had worked, you worked with Cory Booker on some legislation and everything. Were you at all surprised at how harsh he was towards Jeff Sessions?
I was not, actually. I thought I would not have done what he did. But in the end, we have been fairly aggressive against both of the president's attorney general candidates when they were coming up for the nomination process. There's just two very different perspectives of the role of the U.S. attorney general. Those of us on the conservative side want someone who will follow the law. Those on the left wanted someone who would interpret and then be part of the lawmaking apparatus as opposed to the law enforcement side. So when you have the philosophical disposition that your job is to interpret and create laws if no one else is doing it, then you have someone like Jeff Sessions who has said very clearly he's going to follow the law, not make the law. I can imagine that that is frustrating to my friends on the left, and it certainly seems to be.
It did come across that way.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, Ted Cruz had introduced term limits. How do you feel about that? You know, I keep hearing from people, well, the voters make the term limits. But what do you think?
I do think the voters make term limits. I thank God that they allowed me to have another 6 years. But I also think that we have to be responsible as elected officials and realize that the founding fathers did not intend for us to take one position and stay in it for 30, 40, or 50 years. Now, our state, just so they're not a hypocrite, our state has benefited from the long service of Strom Thurmond. There's no doubt about it that our state was better because of his influence and his seniority in Washington. I take a very different tact to that. I think that there are South Carolinians who will continue and improve upon the work that I have done in the U.S. Senate, and perhaps they're in Congress, perhaps they're in business, perhaps they're in the ministry. But a part of making sure that there is a path forward is me honoring my commitment not to stay in Washington more than 18 years. I had said, well, my commitment was no more than 18 years total, 4 and 12. So I am going to honor that variation. Even though I was appointed to the Senate, I will honor that variation of no more than those 18 years in Washington, so I can go back home and do the things that I was doing as an entrepreneur and hopefully exceed my success.
And possibly as a governor?
You never know what the good Lord has in mind, but I don't know that governor is one of them. But I certainly... I'm thankful that the good Lord and the good people of South Carolina have given me a chance to A, serve, and B, continue to serve, hopefully for the next 6 years, and we'll see what happens after that. But I love your spirit, Ann. You never know.
I know. You never know. Now, do you have more confidence going forward, Tim, with the aspect that we now have a Republican President coming into the White House? Do you have more confidence in the ability of the Senate and the House to be able to work together to get things done?
Yeah, yes, ma'am, I do. I think a couple things I would suggest to the listeners. Number one, I'm in a position where I'm looking at it from the inside out, and I go home so that I can make sure that I can see it from the outside in. I will leave you on this question with a couple of conclusions. Number one, having the trifecta, the White House, the Senate, and the House, means that we will see progress in a way that we haven't seen since President Obama had the same trifecta. The difference will be that if you're a conservative, you will be elated at much of the progress. There will be times of frustration because the way the bodies operate are very clear. The House operates in a simple majority. The Senate requires 60 votes on legislation, 51 for the vast majority of appointments. So we're going to hit some log jams from a legislative standpoint that will be difficult for us to overcome. But repealing Obamacare won't be one of them. Tax reform should not be, maybe, but should not be one of those issues as well. You'll see a rollback on many of the rulemakings from the administration's agencies, from the overtime rule to the fiduciary rule, or said differently, the ability to get a raise and promotions at your job will get easier, not harder. Your ability to have good advice when planning your retirement will become less expensive, not more expensive. And the right-to-work environment that we have in South Carolina will probably catch wind and spread throughout the country as it's just landed in Kentucky. So we'll have more jobs around the country, more competition, and I believe the quality of our lives will be improved because of conservative and Republican leadership.
Absolutely. I know you got to go, but how was your mom up there for your swearing-in ceremony?
Thank you, Ann. She was thrilled to no end and was lighting up like a Christmas tree. Her eyes were bright, her smile was wide, and I was thankful to have my mom see all these blessings from the Lord and her hard witch and switch.
I was going to say, did she have a switch with her?
Not this time. She says I've been good enough to not get a bag of coal or a switch for Christmas, so thank God.
That sounds great. And on the last note, we got to say, what about those Tigers?
Go Tiger Nation!
Hey, Tim, this has been great. I wanted to talk about your opportunity agenda, but how
Next
about
time.
We catch that another time?
Sounds great, ma'am.
Thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.